Have you ever wondered what it would be like to open your apartment door and step directly onto a cobblestone street in Venice? Gareth Brown's The Book of Doors explores this tantalizing possibility through a magical adventure that has captured readers' imaginations worldwide. Since its publication, this modern fantasy has developed a devoted following, with celebrities like Neil Gaiman praising its inventive magic system and Taylor Swift reportedly keeping it on her nightstand. The novel's fresh take on magical realism has drawn comparisons to Aaron Morgenstern's The Night Circus and V.E. Schwab's A Darker Shade of Magic, offering readers an escape into a world where ordinary doors become portals to anywhere and anywhen in the world. When Cassie Andrews finds a mysterious brown leather book beside the body of John Weber, a regular customer at Kellner Books where she works, she has no idea her life is about to change forever. The book, weathered and worn at its corners, feels oddly light in her hands, its ancient leather creaking as she opens it to find strange script resembling Arabic calligraphy interwoven with what appears to be Latin. On the first page, an English inscription stands out in flowing script. This is the Book of Doors. Hold it in your hand, and any door is every door. Mr. Weber, who had spent countless afternoons discussing literature with her in the shop's poetry section, has left her a personal message thanking her for her kindness and understanding during their conversations about Keats and Byron, along with detailed sketches of doorways showing impossible scenes beyond. A rainforest, a moonlit desert, a snow-covered mountain peak. That night, while reminiscing with her roommate Izzy about their post-college backpacking trip to Venice, specifically about the tiny bakery where they'd sheltered from a sudden storm and eaten the best chocolate croissants of their lives, Cassie opens her apartment door to find not their familiar hallway, but a Venetian street glistening with rain. The same bakery across the cobblestone path has its lights on, the smell of fresh bread wafting through the cool night air. When they extend their hands through the doorway, they feel the cool night breeze and catch droplets of rain on their fingertips. The Book of Doors in Cassie's hand feels heavier, more substantial, its pages seeming to pulse with energy, and the sketch inside now shows the exact Venetian street they're witnessing, down to the cat sleeping under the baker's awning. Overcome with wonder and giddy excitement, the friends embark on a midnight tour of Manhattan, transforming ordinary doors into portals to places they've dreamed of revisiting. Their apartment's fire escape door opens to the Library Hotel's roof terrace where they'd celebrated Izzy's birthday last summer. The service entrance of their building leads directly into the magnificent Rose Reading Room of the New York Public Library after hours, their footsteps echoing through the empty hall. The door of their building's laundry room somehow connects to the rare book section of the Strand Bookstore, where they'd spent countless Sunday afternoons. Despite Izzy's growing concerns about the book's unknown nature and whispered warnings about being careful what doors they open, Cassie can't resist using it once more before bed, opening her bedroom door to reveal Portobello Road in London, where she'd bought her favorite vintage jacket 3 years ago. With dawning amazement, she realizes she can return to any door she has ever been through, anywhere on earth. Every threshold she's crossed, every entrance she's passed through, every portal she's ever encountered becomes a potential gateway. This revelation sparks something profound in Cassie, a chance to fulfill not just her own dreams of travel, but those of her grandfather, who raised her after her mother's tragic overdose and died of lung cancer before age 60 without ever seeing the world beyond Pittsburgh. The Book of Doors offers her a freedom beyond imagination, a chance to experience everything her grandfather could only read about in his beloved National Geographic magazines. But as we soon learn, such extraordinary power never comes with an equally extraordinary price, and some doors, once opened, cannot easily be closed. The Book of Doors exists in a hidden world of magical volumes, each granting its owner a unique power. Drummond Fox, once the librarian of a secret collection of these books, carries three: the Book of Luck, the Book of Shadows, and the Book of Memories. when he spots Cassie and Izzy using the legendary Book of Doors, a volume his family has sought for over a century, he knows they're in grave danger. Meanwhile, other players hunt these precious books. Dr. Hugo Barbary, a dangerous man with the Book of Control that allows him to manipulate objects with supernatural force, follows Drummond, hoping to acquire his collection. In London, a mysterious woman kills Marion Brace after learning she sent the Book of Joy to Drummond years ago. The same woman later uses her Book of Despair to transfer suffering to an innocent child on Westminster Bridge, delighting in the girl's anguish. In the deserts of Chile, a man named Azaki uses his Book of Illusion to create a perfect replica of Barcelona's Sagrada Familia outside an ill woman's home, allowing her to experience her dream destination. His partner, Hjalmar Lund, watches as the illusion dances with northern lights, beautiful but ultimately false, a metaphor for the seductive but potentially hollow nature of these magical powers. In New Orleans, Lottie Moore, known as the bookseller, receives information about the Book of Doors surfacing in New York. She contacts Azaki, hiring him to retrieve the book and bring her Isabella Cataneo, whom she claims to want to protect. This web of book hunters, collectors, and power seekers forms the dangerous backdrop against which Cassie's adventure unfolds. What makes this world so compelling is how the magical books reflect human desires and fears. The Book of Joy removes suffering. The Book of Despair inflicts it. The Book of Memories can erase trauma or make others forget crimes. And the Book of Doors offers freedom and escape. Each character's relationship with these books reveals their deepest nature, whether they seek to help others, profit from power, or inflict suffering for pleasure. Cassie's magical explorations come to an abrupt halt during what should have been an ordinary lunch at Ben's Deli, a cozy neighborhood spot she'd visited countless times before. The arrival of Drummond Fox, a tall Scotsman with weather-worn features and sharp green eyes, transforms the peaceful afternoon into something far more sinister. His own magical tome, the Golden Book of Luck, bound in shimmering leather that seems to catch light from impossible angles, proves Cassie isn't alone in possessing such extraordinary items. But his urgent warning about people hunting these books sends a chill through the warm deli air. The threat materializes almost immediately in the form of Dr. Hugo Barbary, a distinguished-looking man whose refined appearance belies his brutal nature. Wielding the midnight blue Book of Control, Barbary demonstrates the darker potential of these magical volumes. With mere gestures, he sends chairs flying across the room, pins terrified staff members against walls, and shatters every window in the deli, all while demanding they surrender their books with an almost fanatical intensity. As chaos erupts around them, Drummond's Scottish brogue cuts through the pandemonium, urging Cassie to use her Book of Doors. The leather-bound volume practically hums with energy as she frantically flips through its pages. Grabbing Izzy's trembling hand, Cassie visualizes their escape, a quiet street in Lyon she'd once seen in a travel magazine. The door materializes against the deli's back wall, revealing the cobblestones of Place Bellecour bathed in moonlight. They dive through just as Barbary's magic scorches the wall where they'd stood moments before. In a quaint Lyonnais café, over steaming cups of café au lait and fresh croissants that none of them can really enjoy, Drummond reveals the hidden history of magical books. These powerful artifacts have been carefully guarded for generations, passed down through select families, or discovered by fate. He explains how modern technology has made secrecy harder to maintain. Izzy's innocent Google search had sent ripples through dark corners of the internet where book hunters lurk, monitoring for any mention of magical tomes. The gravity of their situation becomes painfully clear when Drummond produces his third book, The Book of Memories, its pages shimmering with an opalescent light. Despite Cassie's vehement protests, he uses it on Izzy, who watches in confusion as ethereal tendrils of red and blue light weave around her head. The process is gentle but absolute. Izzy slumps forward, all memories of magical books and recent events wiped away like footprints on a beach at high tide. Drummond's justification that a mind empty of secrets can't be tortured for them offers little comfort to Cassie. This moment marks a devastating transformation in Cassie's magical journey. What began as an enchanting exploration of hidden doorways and distant cities has evolved into something far more dangerous. She must now navigate a world where magic isn't just about wonder and discovery, but survival and sacrifice. With Izzy's memories erased and Barbary in pursuit, Cassie faces an impossible choice. Protect her Book of Doors from those who would destroy it, or surrender it to prevent further harm to those she loves.
Using the Book of Doors with Drummond's guidance, Cassie travels to the Fox Library in the Scottish Highlands, a magnificent red stone country house with a tall tower and bay windows revealing glimpses of bookcases. Set against pine-covered mountains with deer roaming the grounds, the estate encompasses several mountains and an entire glen, completely isolated from the outside world. Drummond reveals he hasn't been to the library for 10 years, having hidden it in the shadows, using the Book of Shadows to protect his collection. In the tower, accessed through a secret bookcase door, he shows Cassie his collection of 17 special books housed in numbered cupboards around a circular room. He demonstrates two examples, the Book of Joy, which removes all unhappiness and pain from the mind, and the Book of Flame, with obvious fire-related powers. These special books, Drummond explains, have influenced human history for centuries, potentially explaining the success of ancient civilizations like Egypt and China. He feels a deep responsibility to protect them from those who would use them as weapons, which is why he wants to destroy the Book of Doors. Before Cassie retires to rest, Drummond reveals a shocking truth about the Book of Doors. It doesn't just allow spatial travel, but temporal travel as well. Any door is every door, applies not just to location, but to time. The book's true power and danger lies in its ability to open doorways to the past, explaining why people are so desperate to possess it. Before Cassie retires to rest, Drummond reveals a shocking truth about the Book of Doors. It doesn't just allow spatial travel, but temporal travel as well. Any door is every door, applies not just to location, but to time. The book's true power and danger lies in its ability to open doorways to the past, explaining why people are so desperate to possess it. This revelation stuns Cassie, who realizes she might be able to see her grandfather again. Hours later, she and Drummond travel to Myrtle Creek, Oregon in 2012, over a decade in the past. They enter Matt's All-American Burgers, a diner Cassie frequented growing up, where she encounters her grandfather, alive and healthy before her. After proving her identity to him, they share an emotional conversation where she reveals she works in a bookstore, fulfilling his dreams for her. When Cassie attempts to warn him about his future illness and death, he firmly refuses to hear it, instead offering life advice about choosing happiness rather than waiting for it. Their meeting ends with a meaningful hug before he leaves in his truck, leaving Cassie to scream her grief into the rain while Drummond watches. The time travel aspect adds profound emotional depth to the story, allowing Cassie to revisit not just places, but people she's lost. Yet it also raises the stakes dramatically. With such power comes the responsibility not to alter the past, and the risk that others might use the Book of Doors to change history for their own ends. The danger becomes real when Hugo Barbary ambushes Cassie at her apartment. During the confrontation, Barbary uses a magical book that hurls Cassie alone through a doorway into the past. Barbary closes the door, leaving Cassie stranded in 2012 without the Book of Doors. Desperate and alone in New York without money or identification, Cassie spends a night on the TKTS stairs in Times Square, telling herself, "It's warm, you're not going to die immediately," as panic and despair wash over her. With no other options, she approaches Mr. Weber's younger self outside his building, pleading, "You give it to me in the future. I got stuck here in the past and I need it to get home." After initially dismissing her as a madwoman, Mr. Weber begins to believe Cassie when she shares a private story he told her in the future about being caught naked by a guesthouse owner in Rome, something he's never told anyone. He offers her temporary shelter in his spare room, and as days become weeks and months, they establish a comfortable routine based on their mutual love of books. As months turn to years, Cassie's desperate search for the Book of Doors gradually becomes a hobby rather than an obsession. Mr. Weber encourages her to just live rather than constantly worrying. When Cassie realizes the clothes and books she'd found in his apartment after his death were actually hers, she accepts that she won't find the Book of Doors and stops looking, resigned to traveling to the future minute by minute. Meanwhile, the mysterious woman who killed Marion Grace returns to her isolated cabin in Georgia's Blue Ridge Mountains. We learn she keeps six powerful books in a basement safe: the Book of Speed, Book of Mists, Book of Destruction, Book of Despair, and two others. Once known as Rachel Belrose, she murdered her parents years ago and has killed 17 others, burying them throughout her property. She derives intense pleasure from causing pain and uses the Book of Destruction to kill all living creatures around her in the woods. The contrast between Cassie's growing acceptance of her situation and the woman's malevolent use of magical books highlights the central theme of the novel, that power itself is neutral, but how we choose to use it reveals our true character. Cassie, stranded in time, builds a meaningful life with Mr. Weber based on kindness and shared interests. The woman, with access to incredible magical power, chooses to inflict suffering and death. After nearly a decade stranded in the past, Cassie finally returns to her own time, where she reunites with Izzy, who survived thanks to the Book of Illusion, and Drummond. Together with Lund and Azaki, they develop a plan to stop the mysterious woman who has been hunting magical books and killing their owners. Their plan involves using the Book of Doors to steal most of the woman's collection from her safe, replacing them with illusions created by Azaki. They then set up a fake auction to lure her to the McIntosh Hotel in New York, where they hope to confront and defeat her. The confrontation turns violent when the woman shoots Lund and reveals her skirt is made from pages of the Book of Despair. She touches Azaki and Drummond, who fall screaming to the floor, before grabbing Cassie and filling her with overwhelming hopelessness. In her mind, everything is lost, life reduced to monochrome suffering, ending only in death. She's trapped in memories of her grandfather's painful passing, then shown visions of a devastated future. While everyone else is incapacitated, Izzy remains unaffected thanks to Cassie's protective book of safety. Recognizing the glowing feathers of the woman's skirt are actually pages from the Book of Despair, Izzy grabs Lund's cigarette lighter and sets the skirt ablaze. As the Book of Despair burns, the others regain their senses. Cassie and Drummond hurl the screaming, burning woman through a portal into nothingness, where she disintegrates with 1,000 fractured howls. Cassie herself had previously experienced this nothingness, a void beyond reality, where she existed as pure consciousness, preserved only by the essence of the Book of Safety. In this state, she experienced memories and emotions as physical sensations, rainbow explosions of color, foghorn blasts of sound. As these experiences became overwhelming, Cassie used the creative power of this void to transform her emotions into special books, scattering them throughout reality and time in various languages. This revelation adds a cosmic dimension to the story. The magical books that characters have been fighting over were actually created by Cassie herself in the nothingness beyond reality. The power that seemed external was, in a sense, always hers. After defeating the woman, Cassie and her companions arrive at the Fox Library, now brought back from the shadows into golden sunlight. Drummond proposes they all work for him as book hunters, not for profit, but to protect special books from those who would abuse them. Azaki, Izzy, and Cassie all agree to this new purpose. In a hidden room, Drummond shows Cassie something astonishing, another copy of the Book of Doors. He explains it's actually the same book at a different point in its timeline, brought from Egypt long ago. When Cassie touches it, text appears just as in her copy. Drummond admits he once considered destroying her copy, but couldn't bring himself to do it, and now offers her this version, saying the Book of Doors has always been hers. Cassie realizes she must give this copy to Mr. Weber so he can give it to her younger self, completing the circle. She returns to her home using Drummond's copy of the Book of Doors, arriving in the darkened room where her grandfather lies dying. Her younger self sleeps exhausted in a chair nearby. Cassie gives her grandfather the Book of Joy, whose colorful cover resembles vibrant flowers in bloom. The moment he touches it, his pain vanishes, replaced by pure delight. She sits with him as he peacefully passes away in joy rather than suffering. Finally, Cassie visits Kellner Books, where Mr. Weber sits reflecting after his conversation with her younger self. She hands him the Book of Doors, and he understands what he must do, writing a careful note on the first page. As he looks up, he feels a sudden pain in his chest. As consciousness slips away, Cassie holds him close and places a kiss on his forehead, a blessing and thanks as he embraces the darkness, completing the circle of how the Book of Doors first came to Cassie. The novel thus ends where it began, with the quiet death of Mr. Weber and Cassie discovering the Book of Doors. But now we understand the full significance of this moment, how it represents not just the beginning of Cassie's adventure, but the completion of a temporal loop that she herself created. The power of the Book of Doors was always meant for her, and through her journey, she learned to use it not for escape, but for healing, connection, and protection. At its heart, the Book of Doors explores how we respond to power and possibility. Every character with access to magical books faces the same fundamental choice: use their power for selfish gain, to help others, or some complex mixture of both. Cassie begins by using the Book of Doors for personal exploration and fulfillment of her grandfather's dreams. When stranded in the past, she builds a meaningful life with Mr. Weber based on friendship and shared interests. Upon returning to her time, she chooses to use her power to protect others and stop those who would abuse magic. The woman who becomes the story's antagonist represents the opposite path, using magical books solely to inflict suffering and accumulate more power. Hugo Barbary similarly seeks control and dominance, though his character finds redemption when the Book of Health releases his pain, allowing him to see the world with new eyes. Drummond Fox chooses protection and preservation, hiding the Fox Library to keep its books from those who would misuse them. The bookseller takes a mercenary approach, auctioning books to the highest bidder while claiming her profits make the world a better place, a claim Izzy clearly doubts. Even minor characters reveal their nature through their relationship with magic. Azaki creates beautiful illusions to fulfill an old woman's dream of seeing the Sagrada Familia, yet questions whether he's giving false hope. Lund, initially motivated by profit, gradually develops loyalty to Izzy that transcends self-interest. Through these varied responses to magical power, Brown invites us to consider how we might use extraordinary abilities if we possess them. Would we, like Cassie, eventually move beyond personal desire to protect others? Or would we, like the woman with the Book of Despair, indulge our darkest impulses without restraint? The novel suggests that magic itself is neither good nor evil. It simply amplifies what's already within us. The Book of Doors offers freedom and possibility, but whether that leads to wonder or danger depends entirely on who holds it in their hands. In this way, the magical books serve as mirrors, reflecting each character's true nature, revealing who they are by showing what they choose to do with power when ordinary constraints are removed. Perhaps this is why the story resonates so deeply with readers. Because while we may never hold a Book of Doors, we all face similar choices about how to use whatever power and freedom we possess. Do we choose connection or isolation, creation or destruction, joy or despair? Like Cassie, we must decide not just where we want our doors to lead, but who we want to be when we step through them.